Our scripture tonight comes from Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I am so thankful that this COVID-19 virus came during Lent and Holy Week. Not that I am glad for a pandemic, but if it had to happen, I'm glad it's now. We profess to believe in an all-knowing and sovereign God, and here is something that points to it. Today, Good Friday, we ponder the death of our Savior Jesus, while we're surrounded by death on every side. People are literally dying of disease. Others' dreams and plans are dying as businesses go under and plans are changed. Sometimes a whole life is turned in a new direction, which instead of feeling like a brand new start, has more of the flavor of a bad end, a death. Even for those whose lives aren't so drastically changed, it's hard to be isolated, hard to stay away from the places we're so used to going and being with the people we love. What better time of year, then, to have this happen to us than when we're already fasting, giving up or taking up something as a discipline to seek God in our lives and in the world, to prepare for the grand feast of resurrection that is certainly coming at the end of the fast. But while we're in the throes of this pandemic, thank God for the doctors and nurses and the first responders and the hospice workers. Well, hospice workers might not be able to go to work. I'm not really sure if they're considered essential or not. But I've been thinking about them as I've meditated on this passage because they sit at the beds of the dying. I'm sure they don't get enjoyment out of it, but they aren't afraid to look at death or the suffering that comes before it. Maybe their first patient or two, it was hard to look, hard to be in the house, in the room. But as time went on and they learned their craft, it got easier. So they became more skilled at being with someone who's sick and the family that is sorrowing. They became familiar with the feel of a house where someone lay dying. Most of us don't have that familiarity. Instinctively, we look away from suffering and death. Ask the people who are grieving. I know someone suffering a severe loss, and she says people, even her friends, cross to the other side of the street rather than pass right by her. And this is long before COVID-19 was ever even heard of. Ask a cancer patient or anyone with a terminal illness. Some of them lose their friends, or maybe all of them lose some friends. For whatever reason, we just do not like to be in the same room with profound suffering. Even common suffering is hard for us to hang around with or be friendly to. Remember when you were a kid and there was someone who looked different enough to attract attention? Maybe it was a bright birthmark on the face or a disfigured feature. The people who were friends with that person had either known them a long time, long enough to look beyond the disfigurement, or they were uncommonly kind and unselfconscious. Most of us were more inclined to the cruelty of teasing and put-downs. But the person who is suffering, whether it's grief or some other pain, wants a friend. The sorrow isn't their fault, not something they brought on themselves. It's not that God is angry or punishing them. And it doesn't change the fact that they're your friend, often with the same personality still intact. But who is going to come alongside the cancer patient? Hold their hand, listen to their fears and rants, affirm their hopes? Who will befriend the grieving parent or the inconsolable child and stay with them for the long haul as they process the unfairness of a world where people you love die? Isaiah, speaking about Jesus, assures us that the suffering people have a friend. We are always told not to say to someone, "I know how you feel." Supposedly, everyone's different and no one can feel what another feels. But Jesus, in some mysterious way, has felt all the pain that is in the world. He knows pain. He suffered more than we can understand or imagine. It wasn't just the physical pain of crucifixion, though that would be bad enough for anyone. Here was the person who was the most human being who ever lived, and he was trampled like dirt, bullied, and laughed at. But it wasn't just the humiliation of being misunderstood and mocked. Add to that the opposition of his people. The religious leaders who should have recognized God in their midst are the ones who called for his crucifixion in the end. Ones who should have been his friends set him up for a death sentence. All of these things contribute and combine to make his pain and suffering, physical and emotional. But what was the worst pain for Jesus was being forsaken by God. Isaiah says we considered him punished by God, but he was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. On the cross, he took on sin because sin, the scripture, or became sin, the scripture says, and took the punishment and death that sin afforded, that we deserve. On the cross, Jesus was alone for the first time. The one who lived with a kind of carelessness because he utterly trusted in God, who at any time had the ear of his heavenly Father, was now left alone to carry the sin of the world. But Jesus is the living God, resurrected a few days later, so we know that he cares for the suffering people today. He is with us when we struggle with pain, with grief, with ugliness too horrible to bear. He is not afraid to enter the room of a dying person or to hold the hand of one who is grieving. He cries with us. He's angry with us. He feels our pain. I read something yesterday that I couldn't seem to put my finger on again today to get the exact quote, but it was something like, whatever game God is playing with the world, he plays by the rules. When he came in Jesus, God incarnate, he took on all of the human condition and lived with that. He suffered and died. Friends, we are Christ's church. We are his body in the world. Some like to say his hands and feet. Open your eyes to the suffering people. Look to Jesus, your Savior. See how he wants to sit by the deathbed. Stand at the grave with the grieving. Be in the doctor's office when the diagnosis comes. At the courthouse when the sentence is passed down. And be there. That is his call to the church, to give up our comfort and our fear of discomfort in the face of the world's hurts. And it's not just his call. It's the way it is with disciples. Matthew Loftus said this, "Our ability to manage and live with grief depends on how much we are willing to identify with Christ. If we do not make ourselves vulnerable to the pains and sorrows of the world like he did, nor risk what we have for the sake of people who are hurting, then our griefs will be trivial indeed. The degree to which we are united with Christ in spirit, in prayer, in suffering, is the degree to which he shares the burden of those suffering with us. As we are willing to identify with Jesus, the man who was despised and rejected, beaten, humiliated, and crucified, we will be able to share the griefs of the world. There are no easy answers. The only way to ease grief is to grieve. The only way to help another in pain is to feel pain. And as we enter into others' pain, Jesus uses us to bring some healing, some ease, and some hope. Tonight, as the church contemplates once again Jesus' crucifixion, may we gain strength for our calling. May he be not just an example, but the source of our compassion and care for a world that is in pain. Will you join with me now in a prayer for help to suffer and to thank Jesus who did suffer for us and continues to suffer with us?